I want to begin our study this morning in Galatians chapter 2, verses 16 through 21. This passage of Scripture is dealing with justification. Not an easy subject to study, but one that is needful. And it was one that Paul had to address as far as Peter's position when it comes to when it came to justification, and hopefully we can clarify that a little bit this morning. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, beginning. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I'll just say this, that this lesson or this message this morning was not an easy message to put together. In other words, I looked at all the passages of Scripture that deal with justification or justified, and there are many verses of Scripture that we could look at. But in the time that we have allotted, there's just not enough time to look at all the verses. But I do feel like that we need to consider justification. Let me say that justification has to do with being chargeable with any offense. Justification is, if we are justified, we are not chargeable. What I mean by chargeable, it means that we have got something on our record that doesn't please God. Something on our record and in our lifestyle that God will address one day, or the Lord will address at the judgment seat of Christ and call us on the carpet about. And there are things that we can do in our life that can be marked against us. And we want to stand in His presence and to be approved and to hear well done. I know I do. And I believe you do too. So, first of all, this verse 16 clarifies the fact that salvation comes when we believe on Jesus Christ, or believe in Jesus Christ. In verse 16 it says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed, aorist, active, indicative, in Jesus Christ. It's significant that the word believed is in the aorist tense. This is talking about salvation, and it's not talking about justification. Justification is a process. In fact, the word justified in the first part of this verse is in the present passive tense. It's a continuing process, where salvation is an event. When we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we're born into the family of God. That's an event. And that's the reason why the aorist tense of the verb is used in this verse. In Acts 16:31, Paul and Silas, responding to the Philippians jailer's question, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul and Silas said, believed erest active on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in the future. In other words, they weren't saved yet, but when they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then they were saved. And not only you can be saved that way, but your whole house can be saved. Salvation is open for anyone and everyone because Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. He was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Then, in this verse that we read in Galatians 2:16, the phrase that we might be justified in verse 16. And we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified. In other words, we might be justified if we depart, if we might be justified, we might not be justified if we depart from the faith. Faith is a noun, believe is a verb. Salvation is through the verb, and we live by faith, which is the noun. And so, getting saved does not provide justification. Salvation does clean the slate, so to speak. Takes care of the past sins. And then from there on out, it's a time of walking with the Lord or straying from the Lord and confessing of those sins and those times that we have disobeyed and become displeasing. So we might be justified and then we might not be justified. It's dependent upon whether or not we're pleasing God or not. And it's we're justified by the faith of Christ. This has always bothered me when I think about it's His faith. Now what? How does that affect me? This is the faith of Christ. What about my faith? Well, what this is telling us is this. It's the example of the faith of Christ that we need to follow. Christ lived by faith, too. He did. He was obedient to the Father, and He did those things that were pleasing to the Father. So Jesus Christ lived by faith, and He did not fail. Jesus did not fail to please His Heavenly Father. And we need to have that kind of faith. So it's the faith of Jesus Christ, which didn't fail, that will allow us to stand justified or clean or unchargeable before God. So it's the faith of Christ. And Christ did not depart from the faith. And we don't want to depart from the faith because as soon as we depart from the faith, then we are not, our slate is not going to be clean. That's the key. Now Romans chapter 8, 33 tells us what justification really is. It says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect or chosen? It is God that justifieth. Now, this is dealing with election, but the point I want you to bring to get here is this. Not all are elect, okay? Many are called, but few are chosen, few are elect. But this is the point that I want you to get out of this verse is this. That God would not lay anything to the charge of anyone or to the God's elect or those who have been called. Because it is God that justifieth. If we don't stand justified before the Lord, then we are chargeable. Now, how does chargeable work? Well, Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21 gives us a list of the works of the flesh. He says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, and then it gives other sins. Verse 21 continuing, it says, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you live in adultery, fornication, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, or partying, and such like, it's going to cost you. You're going to be denied positions of honor and glory in the coming kingdom. You do these things, you're not living by faith. You cannot live in adultery and live by faith, period. You can't live in sin and walk by faith. And if you're living in sin, you're going to be chargeable. And the Lord's going to say, you were living in adultery. You were a drunkard. You were a murderer. Revelings and such like. And you're going to be denied positions of honor and glory in the kingdom. Now we're talking about saved people here. We're not talking about lost people. And we're not talking about losing your salvation. This is talking about losing your inheritance. Inheritance is a family matter. We inherit from our fathers and mothers, our family. And so this is talking about inheritance and not salvation. Now, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 17, Paul says, but if while we, that is, Paul and the brethren, verse 1 of chapter 1, seek to be justified by Christ. I'm bringing out this verse to show you that Paul and the brethren were seeking. See the word seek? It's in the present tense. They were seeking to be justified. That is an ongoing experience. It's not an event. Justification is not an event. Justification requires confession of sin. If you don't deal with sin in your life, you are going to be chargeable. And that's the reason why the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ provides cleansing and deliverance from the bondage of sin. Now, Christ justifies. Well, how does he do that? How did that come about? We see that in Romans 4:25. It was Christ that was raised again for our justification. When he died on the cross, he died for the sins of the whole world. That took care of the family situation. But he was raised from the dead and placed at the right hand of the Father for our justification. Two different events. Two different purposes. One, death on the cross, salvation. Resurrection from the dead, to the right hand of the Father as our high priest, for justification and cleansing. Hebrews 8:1 tells us, we have such an high priest who is set at the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high. This is talking about our Father, which is in heaven. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. When Jesus Christ was raised from the dead again, where did he go? He went to the right hand of the Father to do what? To intercede on your behalf and mine. For what? For fellowship. For cleansing from sin. And of course from leadership in our life as to what he would have us to do and where he would have us to go. And he is the perfecter. The word finisher can also be translated perfecter of our faith. In other words, when we go to the high priest, our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, he perfects our faith, our confidence in him. And he is the one who is helping our faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 14, it says, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Now, faith is significant because we are justified by faith. And if Christ be not risen from the dead, then our faith would not allow us to be approved. We would continue to be chargeable because faith is required for us to be justified, because we know that faith helps us to access the grace of God, and we are justified by His grace as well. In Romans 3:24 it says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justification comes by grace. And you cannot get grace, which we will see in a little bit, apart from faith. Now, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What is redemption for? Well, redemption is a family matter. Remember that Boaz redeemed Naomi and Ruth. Naomi and Ruth were part of the family. And why did Boaz redeem Naomi and Ruth? Well, it was in the law given by Moses that the descendants of Naomi and Ruth would have an inheritance in the land. In other words, they would have property. Their name would last in the nation of Israel. It wouldn't just simply go away. And their property would be distributed to other people. It would be for inheritance. So, there's also another aspect of redemption, is that sometimes a brother who became poor would sell himself to a neighbor to pay his debt. And so therefore he was in bondage serving his neighbor. And so he needed to be redeemed. He needed to be his debt to be paid so the man could go free and that he could serve his family and himself. And of course we need to be redeemed that we might serve the Lord Jesus Christ and not the world, the flesh, or the devil. So, justification is by faith, and Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead made faith operative. And so when we read that we are justified by faith, then we can appreciate the resurrection of Jesus Christ to the right hand of the Father. In Romans 3:26 it says, to declare that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Here we find, who is just? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is just. And He is the justifier. Notice that that is in the present tense. Justification is an ongoing thing. Justification is ongoing because there's times when we sin and we confess. When we sin and we confess and clean the slate. Justifier of Him which are out from faith. You see the word believeth? It should be translated faith, or living by unfailing faith of Jesus. Remember, Jesus' faith did not fail. And if our faith doesn't fail, then we too will be justified or not be chargeable. So Paul continues in Romans 3:28 when he says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without or besides the deeds of the law. That is, being just. In other words, the just shall live by faith. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11, there's something interesting here that I wanted to share, and hopefully it will be plain. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11, it says, but such were some of you, but ye are washed. In other words, talking about sinners, it says, but now ye are washed, that is, unchargeable. Ye are sanctified, that is, set apart, a vessel prepared for the Master's use. But ye are justified in or by the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. How are we justified in the name of the Lord Jesus? That's an interesting concept, isn't it? How are we justified in His name? Well, a little study of words will help us, or in other portions of Scripture. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 13, it says, He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So we can say that we are justified by the Word of God. You see the connection of the two? We're justified by the Word of God. How are we justified by the Word of God? Well, if you read in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it tells us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Are we justified by faith? Absolutely. Where do we get that faith? From the Word of God. Whose name is that? The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is His name. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And what is the Word of God? What builds our faith? You see that in Luke chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing ye may, that they might not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is what? The Word of God. So what is the seed? The Word of God? It's the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. What do the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens have to do? It has to do with a heavenly inheritance. And if you are chargeable, you can lose that heavenly inheritance. They that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So that's the reason why we want to be justified. We don't want to be chargeable. Because if we are chargeable, what might the charges be? He might call us a wicked and slothful servant. Does that sound like approval to you? It doesn't to me. I don't want that. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so therefore it's important for us to behave ourselves. How? By faith, by His grace, by being obedient to the moral law. You can't live in the sins of the flesh and expect to be unchargeable. Now, Paul says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21, he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Paul says, I don't want to frustrate the grace of God. Well, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 tells us, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the glory of God. It takes faith to access the grace of God. And to frustrate the grace of God is to depart from the faith. You depart from the faith, you can't have the grace of God. And if you don't have the grace of God, there's no peace. Because it says here, therefore being justified by faith, we are at peace with God. Really is what that's saying. We have peace with God. We are at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, our High Priest, by whom, that is, our High Priest, we have access by continually living in faith under this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That is, we are going to be approved because we are living by His grace or power. Now what happens when we depart from the faith? We depart from the grace of God as well. Galatians 5 verses 4 and 5, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. When you have stopped living by faith, you have fallen from grace. You have stopped pleasing God because you're beginning to live in the flesh. And verse 5 tells us that we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. The righteousness by faith is to stand approved. To hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And if we depart from the faith, we frustrate the grace of God. And Christ is dead in vain. Well, what death is that referring to in Galatians 2:21? I don't believe it's referring to the death on the cross. This word death in this verse is the Thanatos death, apothanesco. It's the death in the garden. That's the death that can be forsaken. The death on the cross is for the sins of the whole world, and when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're forever in the family of God, and that cannot be changed. But you can forsake the high priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the office that he submitted to, or that's the death that he submitted to in the garden. We just don't have the time to go over all that this morning. We have done that already in the study of the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. But we don't want to fall from grace. We want to continue living by faith. So therefore, when we think about falling from grace, we think about the fact that we will stop serving God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And I included that in our passage, in our study this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29, it says, "Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved." Entrance in that coming kingdom, the rules are set. For us to rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom, we have to please Him. And the only way that we can please Him is by faith. And that faith accesses the grace that we need, or the power of Christ that we need, to serve Him, not in the flesh, but in His power and in His might. "Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us," or "may we have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." We want to serve God by His grace. And I want to close with the passage in Luke chapter 17. Here's a servant plowing and feeding cattle, and the Lord is teaching this parable, and He's asking His disciples, "Which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, 'Go and sit down to meat'? And will not rather say unto him, 'Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken. Afterward thou shalt eat and drink.'" Now, the translation of verse 9 is not a very happy translation. It says, "Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him?" And the King James says, "I trow not," or "I don't think so." Now, this is not talking about... I'm sure the Lord appreciates the fact that we are obedient. But what this verse is actually saying is this. The word "doth," in the first word in that verse, is actually "not have," or really "not esteem." This word "doth" should be translated "not esteem," because it's in the present tense. And he says he does not esteem. You see the word "thank"? That's the word "grace." Why they translated it "thank"? I don't know why. Because it is the word "grace." And what he is saying here, does the servant who came in from the field, does he esteem grace? Does that servant have a value for the grace of God in his life? And the Lord says no. Why? Well, verse 10 tells us, "So likewise ye, when you have done all those things which are commanded you, say, 'We're unprofitable servants.'" You see the word "unprofitable servants"? He was chargeable. He did not esteem the power of Christ. He did not esteem grace. Grace is what is needed for us to be justified or unchargeable. And this servant did not esteem grace. And so therefore he was chargeable. What was he chargeable for? He only did that which was his duty to do. God wants us to do more than our duty to do. And what is more than our duty to do? It is to trust Him for our every need, to live by faith. That's what God wants us to do. But let me say this, you can't live in the flesh and still live by faith. So God still wants us to value obedience to His commandments, but He wants us to do more than that, which is beyond our duty to do, and that is to live by faith. So He says, we are unprofitable servants because we have done that which is our duty to do. And God says, therefore you are not justified by faith. And so therefore you will not be seated at the table, but you'll be serving tables. When you get into the kingdom, do you want to be in the banquet or do you want to be serving the banqueteers? I want to be seated at the table and let others serve me. But if you are chargeable and you've only done that which is your duty to do, then you will be serving tables in the kingdom and not being served. It kind of reminds me of those who are cursed, like the Gibeonites, the haulers of wood, and the hewers of wood and the haulers of water. I don't want to be doing that. I want to be letting them put another log on the fire and providing a bucket of cool water for me to drink, or a cool drink of water. So, Paul says that being justified by His grace in Titus 3:7, we should be made heirs according to the hope of life for the age. We're justified by His grace. How do we get the grace? By faith. No wonder we're justified by faith. Because faith gets the grace that also provides us with justification. And if we're justified by grace, then we're going to enjoy the blessings of His kingdom dependent upon how intensely we have a hope for that coming kingdom. Because the greater the intensity, the more faithful that we will live and please God. So, hopefully, I've challenged all of us to want to be, or want to stand, approved in His presence and not chargeable. Because it will be expensive to be chargeable and to lose the inheritance that we want to enjoy in His coming kingdom. Father, I just pray You'd help us to appreciate this lesson. We're thankful, Lord, that You have provided faith through the study of the Word of God, which has to do with the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. And this faith, Lord, allows us to access Your power to serve You in an acceptable way. We thank You that we can please You by faith and that we can enjoy Your strength and Your leadership in our life because we have faith. So, Lord, our desire is to stand in Your presence approved and not be charged with the sins of the flesh, or we're just doing that which is our duty to do. We don't want to just get by, Lord. We want to please You. And we know we please You by faith and by grace. Bless the message to each of our hearts, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.